Once you go to John 14, the Lord's just opening up some very deep mysteries right now. Some of the stuff that's going to really, really set us free and open the veil of His glory. Amen. So we're going to begin in John 14. Now these words, John 14, 15, 16, 17, and about half of John 13 were spoken in the upper room. They were spoken to 11 apostles. And even Judas had to leave the room before the Lord even began. John was the only one that caught these revelations. He laid his head into the heart of the Lord. When he did, he caught the heartbeat of God. No other writer wrote these words but John. These words, they're powerful. They're full. When you understand what's in it, glory to God forever. We're going to live victorious in the earth. The mystery of the kingdom of God is embedded into these chapters. Hallelujah. It's already bearing fruit. I'll tell you what, it's amazing. So we're going to John 14 verse 2, but I'm going to talk to you specifically today about the role of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to these words of the upper room. Amen. These words of the upper room and His role here. A lot of times we relate to the Holy Spirit by the outpouring, His flow in the earth, the signs, miracles, wonders, the demonstration, the operation of the gifts. But He's also teacher. He's also a guide, and He's a leader, and He's leading you somewhere. A lot of times we look at the Holy Spirit's leadership as, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to go here? Where do you want me to be? But the host of His leadership, one of the great primary operations of His leadership, is to lead you into that up there, into the realm of the Father's house, into the glory. I'm going to show you some things today. Oh, it knocked my socks off, so I hope it'll knock your socks off. Praise the Lord. So let's begin in John 14, verse 2, with a little bit of review. And then we'll jump into the operation of the Holy Spirit and what the Lord specifically said concerning Him. We'll begin in verse 2. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Say, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. A lot of times people look at this and they say, well, yes, He went to prepare a place. He's going to come and get me. And then at the end of the age, He's going to draw me up. But that is not the context of these chapters. These chapters talk about our access to those dwelling places now, our access into heavenly realms now. In fact, it was the first level of primary leadership that we should have been engaged in as soon as we were born again. We should have been, the compass should have been set for each and every one of us to go straight into the Father, because that's exactly what the Lord wanted to do. He went to prepare one of these rooms for you. And then he goes, I'm going to receive you. I'll go and prepare a place for you. Then I'll come again. And when He said, I go, He says this many times through the book of John. I'm going back to the Father. I came out of the Father. I'm going back to the Father. I came out of the Father. I'm going back to Him. But He's going by way of the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. So the way He went is the way your old man went. Your old man went through the death, burial, and resurrection, and the new man went with Him. Seated together, raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places. That's a very real place. Amen. Glory to God. I go to prepare the place. I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, say where I am. The whole book of John is about where I am. In fact, I'm going to title this mini-series, Where I Am. He says this three times specifically where He's going, inviting us to come. This is second time He said it. He goes, where I am, there shall you be also. If you can identify where He is, you're in very good shape. Only the words of the living God are going to identify where He is, because He's no longer with them. He says, look, I'm leaving you. I'm not going to be in person when you see me, but you will see me again, but you're going to see me a different way. And to find this room, you're going to have to keep these words. Hallelujah. Now, he said something very interesting here. Thomas got into a discussion with Him. He said, where are you going, Lord? How can we know the way? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man's coming to the Father but by me. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to bring you into the Father. That is God's mission for you. If you get into the Father, everything about your life is going to change. I'm not talking about the revelation of the Father here. I'm talking about making your journey into the Father where He is. That's a whole different type of operation right there. Amen. He said, if you'd known me, you should have known my Father. Verse 7. From henceforth, you know him and you've seen him. Now, Philip says, show us the Father. And he really gets upset about this. And there's something very specific he starts to begin saying here. He says, show us the Father. He goes, Philip, haven't you seen me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Who do you think's doing this? He goes, I'm not doing these works. It's the Father dwelling in me doing these works. I'm not speaking these words that are recorded in this New Testament. It's the Father speaking through me. Do you not know that I and my Father are one? Now he begins to say this. Now notice what he says here. And he said, verse 10, and the Holy Spirit really honed in on this. We're building up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit here and what his role is in the right hand of God. His role is in the where I am. The Holy Spirit has a predominant role. The Lord has a predominant role and the Father has a predominant role. And it really helps to understand what their roles are because they're going to help you get where you need to be. Amen. You're not alone. Say, I'm not alone. Verse 10, believest thou not? Now notice this, that I'm in the Father. Notice what he didn't say, don't you believe that I'm your Savior? He went way beyond being their Savior. Why is it every time we get saved, that's where we stay? That's not what he was asking them to believe. He certainly wasn't going to ask a lost person to believe, don't you believe? Think about a lost person walking in here, half stone. And you get, don't you believe that Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in Jesus? You got to believe that. They wouldn't even know what you're talking about. The only thing they know is the cross. That's it. It's the only thing they're going to identify as a loss. This message was for the believer. Believest thou not, Philip, that I'm in the Father? The Holy Spirit kept haunting on, and the Father's in me. And then he repeats it again. He goes, these words, I'm not speaking the Father. And then he says it again. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Believe these works. This is not the first time he says this. He was adamant about us understanding this. And the Holy Spirit was really honing in on this. I'm like, why were you so adamant about this? Really, what difference does it make? I'm saved. I love the Lord. Go to John 10. He repeats this exactly, almost verbatim. Look at verse 30. This got him in a lot of trouble. He says, I and my Father are one. And they took up stones to stone him. In fact, when I mentioned where I am, he told him in chapter 5 and chapter 7, he goes, where I am, you cannot come. Told the ones who were trying to kill him, he goes, you seek to kill me. He goes, I would that you would have received me because you rejected me. Where I am, you cannot come. But he's telling his disciples, he's telling you and me, where I am, there shall you be also. And there's a reason why you got to be there. There's a reason why he wants you to believe that he's in the Father and the Father's in him. That's what it means to believe on him. In verse 37, he goes, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Woo, we're going to preach the gospel like that here soon. I mean, the real stuff. Not the foot that's getting healed. I'm talking about the raising of the dead. You're going to tell the world, don't believe us. You don't see the Father working today. Don't even believe what we're saying, do you? How'd you like to preach the gospel like that? That's what's wrong with our gospel right now. It's not wrong with this gospel. It's wrong with our gospel. That's all changing. Because the mystery of it all is in chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, and we're dwelling in it right now. And it's glorious. And it's getting better. Light runneth fast. Step out of darkness, step into the light, you'll run very fast. God's all about light. If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works. Notice this, even the works that you may know, say that you may know, that the Father is in me and I am in him. He keeps repeating this. Why does he want us to know that? I mean, there's people 40 years that really don't, they've been saved 40 years, don't have that revelation. Why was that so important? He says, these works are demonstrating the fact that I come out of him, he's in me, and I'm in him. The Holy Spirit says you really need to look at why that's so important. Everything about what he was doing, everything about what he was saying was demonstrated. He came out of the Father and the Father was dwelling in him. And he was dwelling in the Father and he wanted you to believe that. In fact, it was necessary for you to believe that to go to the next level. You had to believe that. And I'm thinking, why was that so important? I'm glad you asked. Go back to John 14. John 14, now he mentions the Holy Spirit right after this discourse. He starts to mention the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is his first mention about him is John 14, verse 16, in his role. Now, what I want you to do for all of those that have been born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, for those of you that are like that, that you know everything already, take what you have been taught about the Holy Spirit and stick it on a shelf just for the next hour. Let me share something new with you. Amen. Like he shows you things to come. Let me share with you what that means once we get there. It might mean a whole lot more than what you think it means. Let's look at the first one. Verse 16. I'll pray to the Father. He's going to give you another comforter, helper, advocate, that he may abide with you forever. He's basically saying, listen, all of this, he's still talking about being with him where he is. He's talking about drawing you to the Father. He says, you're not going to be able to do this alone. You're not going to be able to find it because I'm leaving. I'm going away. You're not going to see me like this. I'm not going to sit up till 2 o'clock in the morning, explain all this to you all the time. I'm not going to be here in person anymore. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Now notice what he calls him, verse 17, the Spirit truth. The world cannot receive him, seeth him not, know him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you and shall be in you. Notice what he says, I will not leave you. This is his first promise, comfortless. That word comfortless means I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. He says, I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I promise I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you fatherless. My Holy Spirit is going to see that you are not left fatherless. His number one role, he's going to get you to your Heavenly Father. You're going to have to shift your mentality from God coming to you coming to God. You've got to learn to go to where he is. And he's given you his Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit, one of his primary functions, the day you were born again, is to begin teaching, training, equipping, and showing you of another realm. And how to operate in that realm. When the Holy Spirit teaches you, he does not make you goofy. He does not make you crazy. He's solid. He's sound. I give you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's all he does. Amen. He has sound doctrine. One Holy Spirit, amen. He teaches the Bible one way, the right way. Now, that was our first introduction, the Holy Ghost. Now, John 14, look at verse 23. Now, Jesus gives something very powerful here. Glory to God. This is probably one of the most powerful verses in the entire New Testament. It's definitely one of the most powerful verses in this chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. These upper room words, I call it upper room words. It's probably the one most powerful statement he makes. If you understand it, you're well on your way to operating in the fullness of God and the fullness of answered prayer. We're all about going up and going in. Amen. Say going up, going in. Woo! For what purpose? Answered prayer. For what purpose? Kingdom come. Will be done. Operating in fullness. Because he said also about those works he was doing. He says he works that I do, you will do also. He wasn't talking about the gift realm given to the Corinthian church. He was talking about operating in his fullness. I don't have time to explain that. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, how many love the Lord? Well, he's got a definition. Don't misinterpret this verse. It'll get you in big trouble if you start using your head to interpret this verse. You're not even knowing what I'm saying right now. You're going to need my Holy Spirit to explain this one to you. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Two verses later, he said commandments. He goes, if you'll keep my words, my Father will come and love him. He said, my Father will love him and then we'll come to you and make our abode with you. How many wants that? How many wants the habitation of God? He said, the Lord Jesus and the Father would come and dwell. He's talking to the lions like he was dwelling with Moses, like he was dwelling with Solomon, like he's dwelling with Christ. The same thing he said is the Father is dwelling in me. He's saying, I'll come and dwell with you. The Father will and I will. Just as the Father dwelt with me, we'll both come and dwell with you. In the exact same way. He's telling you the mystery of his mantle right there. Well, I got to keep his commandments. Let's go get the Ten Commandments, start keeping them. How far did that get the Levitical priesthood? That wasn't the words he was talking about. You can underline the words. He said, keep my words. There's only words that are going to get you to what he's talking about. He said, if you'll keep my words, you can write words of the upper room. These are the ones he wanted you to keep. He said, these words are the only ones that are going to get you to where I am. Because you're not going to be able to find this place by your senses. You're not going to find this place by your mind. You probably won't find it with the present doctrine that's going on in the church. You're going to have to hear these words and you're going to have to keep those words. And my Holy Spirit is going to help you find this place. And when you find this room in the Father's house, the Father's going to love you there. He's going to love you like you've never been loved before.
Well, Father loves me now.
I know the Father loves you. He loves us all, but he tangibly loves you daily, fully, completely. A love that's able to restore you to the image of Christ. A love that I had some issues. We're not going to talk about today. But they survived 29 years of knowing God, 19 years of ministry, about 10,000 hands laid on me. These issues kept going. Well, when I went and I was led into this room, now I understood the Father loved me. I've been loved of the Father. I've been acquainted with the Father. I've been visited by the Father. I've entered into the Father, but nothing like that. I dwelt there and he transformed something. Radically. Big time. It's a teaching called The Crucifixion of Cujo, if you want to listen to it. It's pretty cool. Now, verse 24, he says something pretty powerful here. Now, verse 23, you can write words of the upper room. Very specific what you need to start doing. Listen, how are you ever going to be good enough to dwell with a Father? You're going to have to believe his words. You got to believe these words are enough to get you where he wants you to be. And you're going to keep trying to change yourself so God will accept you. You're operating under the tenets of the old man. Paul said, I'm found in him not having my own righteousness. And Paul was perfect under the law. He said, but now all that stuff is done to me. I'm found in him by faith. I'm found in his righteousness. I'm found in his glory. Everyone say, I'm found. Verse 14, and he loveth me not. He that loveth me not, ready for this, keepeth not these sayings, you can write, of the upper room. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. God has a different definition of love. Because he said, if you love me, you're going to follow me. Because if you love me, you're going to keep my words and you're going to follow me to where I am. And where I am, there shall you be also. And that's the mark of someone who truly loves him. You're going to follow him. Now, I'm not talking about following him all over the earth. I'm talking about following him into the Father because that's his number one primary purpose is to get you into the love of the Father. These things, verse 25, now he's about to talk about the Holy Spirit for the second time. These things I've spoken to you being present with you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things. So he's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Now he's saying this, listen very carefully. He said, don't think you're going to go find something to do to get in there. You're going to need to keep very specific words. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Wait for the Holy Ghost. He's going to come and he's going to bring all these things to you because he's the one that's going to guide you where I want you to be, because you're going to have to find a place that cannot be discerned with the natural eye, cannot be discerned with the natural senses. It's a realm in the spirit. It's a place in the Father's house. And the only way you're going to find it is by faith, keeping these words, and I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. He's going to get you there. He's going to get you there. One of his primary functions is to get you there. Sometimes we frustrate the Holy Spirit because we're not in alignment with what he wants to do. We're wanting him to use me. Lead me. Because we're all about earthly jurisdictional operation. Just show me, lead me. When, God, when? How come, God? Where are you, Holy Ghost? Come and rest upon us, O heavenly dove. And he goes, I really want to lead you somewhere. I want to talk to you about that realm. I want to lead you to where Christ dwelleth. I want to lead you to the Father. I want to show you your inheritance been laid up for you in heavenly places. I want to show you who you are. You're not just, we have an altar to eat from that they that serve the earthly tabernacle had no right to. I want to show you the heavenly pattern without making you squirrely. I want to show you the primary things. Because people, when they go, they want to move into the spirit. They want to see lightning and thunders and angels. You need to get rid of that. God's primary purpose of getting you into the realm of glory is to love you with a love that's not of this world. The Father wants to restore you to your image. And his love dwelling in that room is enough. And the Holy Ghost knows it. And Jesus knows it. He's going to bring all this to your memories. He's going to help you. He's going to show you. Stop frustrating him. Get in alignment with his purpose. Because he woke me up early and said, pray that I draw people. He wants you to hear these words. He wants to set a compass on the inside of you. Your life is about a compass. Don't wait till you get to glory to realize what you could have achieved. Learn to draw, learn to dwell, learn to move. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Learn to be found in him, learn to operate into this realm. Amen. Look at verse 19 for a minute. Right before the second reference, notice what he says. Yet a little while, say a little while. He says this quite often in the book of John, a little while. You got to pay attention to the little whiles. The world seeth me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you'll live also, but you're not going to see me the way you see me now. In a little while, I'm going to the Father, but you're going to see me in the Father. Because my Holy Spirit's going to bring you there. In a little while, I got to go through the cross. I got to go. Because Peter goes, I'll follow you wherever you go. He goes, Peter, you're not going to make it the first round. He goes, I'll die with you this night. He goes, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. But I appreciate the noble efforts of your flesh. But that's not what I'm after, Peter. You're not going with me. I'm the only one that can go this road. The death, burial, and resurrection. But the second, when I come and get you, your old man's going to go. I'm going to bury him, Peter. Don't you worry. I'll take care of that. I'll bury him alongside of me, and then I'm going to raise you up to where I am. Now, remember when I started this? In John 14, he says, believe that I'm in the Father. Believe the Father's in me. And the Holy Ghost kept going, you need to understand why I'm telling you. What was so important? Signs, miracles, and wonders that you could believe he came out of the Father, but more important, he wanted you to believe he was in the Father and the Father was in him. It was so important. You want to know why? Thank you. Verse 20, John 14, verse 20. At that day, in the little while, say after the little while, when you'll see me again in the Father. He's not talking about Eternal glory here. He is talking about the eternal realm, but not after you die. Oh, this is now. You know why? Because all threaded through all this, he says, you'll ask the Father, and whatsoever you ask, he'll do for you. Well, it doesn't do any good if you've already died and gone to heaven. What are you going to ask him for? Everything's yours now. He's talking about now. You are a heavenly bride. You got to operate in the heavenlies with some level of soundness. At that day, when you see me again, Peter, when I brought you to where I am. Oh, if the church would have been taught this 20, 30, 40, 500 years ago, where would we be? We'd be in the Father. More importantly, he'd be dwelling in us in the earth. He says, at that day, Peter, you shall know that I am in my Father. Now watch this. And you are in me. And I'm in you. It's a necessity you understand this relationship that I have with my Father. Because I am in my Father. My Father's in me. If you don't believe that, how can I bring you to the same relationship? Because I'm about to bring you to oneness. I'm going to cause you to dwell in me as I dwell in the Father. In the same way we did it, you're about to do it. In the same way the Father worked through me, he's going to come and work through you in me. But if you don't understand the relationship, if you don't believe it, how can I bring you into the oneness? That's why he was so adamant about the oneness. Because he was about to introduce you to the same relationship. You're not one with God as God Almighty. You're one with him in fellowship, purpose, operation, inheritance. He's still God. He is your Father. You worship him. Jesus, you worship him. But the oneness is key to operating in God here and dwelling in the Father there. So you know by this, everything about in Christ, in the Father, is all about being there. Every time Christ is in you, the Father's in you, that's all about God operating with you here. You see that? Jurisdictional transfer. We don't get told these things. Yet it was the primary leadership to get us there. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and that day you're going to know. In a little while you're going to know I'm in my Father. You're going to know you're in me, and you're going to know that I'm in you. I'm going to show it to you. My Holy Spirit's going to bring you to that revelation, and he's going to bring you there. Amen? Now, let's see if he changed the subject. Look at verse 19 of John 14, yet a little while. Go to John 16, verse 16, a little while. Did he change the subject? It's a little while. A little while is a little while. He's still talking about what's about to happen. It's already happened. But now has to happen for you and me. Say a little while. You shall not see me because I'm leaving. But again, a little while, you shall see me because I go to the Father. Say, you shall see me. You have been given the operation, the capabilities from heaven itself in your new created. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're never going to make it up there with that kind of theology. You must believe what he said about you, not what your head says about you, not what preachers have said about you, not what people have said about you. You got to believe what he said. I am the righteousness of God. I am found in him, not having my own righteousness. You're not going to get anywhere with a father with an unworthy spirit. Only babes get answers with an unworthy spirit. You've got to believe. Say believe. That's why you got to take these words. If he said you could go there, I'm going to my Father. He said you would see me. You're not going to see me the way you see me now, but you'll still see me with the eye of faith. You'll see me by a revealed word that's going to open an eternal realm. And this word's going to open a realm that cannot be discerned with the natural eye, but your eye of faith will clearly see me. Not only you see me, you will dwell with me. And I will dwell with you, and I'll introduce you to the Father. Most of us know the Father has showed up when we feel him. That's what the problem. If you're waiting to feel him, you're going to be waiting a long time. You got to move by faith, not feeling. Now, he hasn't changed the subject. That's verse 16, right? Still talking about the same thing. So now, if you'll back up a couple of verses, like verse 7. Are you ready? This is the meat. If you're not tearing into this stuff, you're missing the greatest inheritance ever. It's going to pass you by. You're going to still wait on God for the next 50 years to do something. You got to go to him where he is, where he's already done it. A place called done. A place called the rest. A place called abiding. A place called dwelling in the Father. Perfect love. Then the glory realm. Then the perimeter inheritances. Laid it all up for you there. Because he was the last Adam. Because the first Adam had it stolen from him. Jesus restored it all, but he had to put it in a jurisdiction way beyond the enemy's jurisdiction. He put it up in the heavenly realms. All what Adam had, he put right back up there in the heavenly realms. All the spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and then gave you access to it. You're not just a little flesh, earthly creature. You are a dual citizen of the kingdom of God. Your spirit is giving you rights and citizenship, joint heirship, sonship, to move into this dimension. You got to do it God's way. The kingdom of God doesn't operate like this kingdom down here does. Kingdom of God operates by love. The first thing he wants to get you to the Father so he can establish love again. He can love you. He's not going to leave you fatherless. He's not going to leave you a father that's going to show up every 6 months. He's on all the time. His love is every day. I said, Lord, I wish I had this 20 years ago. Dear Lord, where we would be. I had no idea I could come in there like that every day. Once it opens by faith, it's yours. You can enter into the Father's love. Oh, he can love you too. Wow. He's starting to talk about answered prayer now and how it works by love and transferences and all that good stuff. Praise the Lord. Okay, he didn't change the subject. Verse 7, I need to move on. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. This present operation you have with me doing all this in front of you, that's got to change. Because I got to go away so I can go to the Father and send my Holy Spirit to bring you to the Father so you can dwell in the Father. And then me and my Father will come back and dwell in you. And you'll do the same things I'm doing. That's really what he meant. He goes, I can't keep doing this. I want to take me and multiply me 1,000 times over. 1,000,000 times over. I'm going to come do this in you. But you're going to have to do it my way. There's a big part of this we're missing. It's all about God come, God come, God come. Dear Lord, if he answered that prayer half the times we prayed it, we've had a revival 1,000 times over. How many times did he tell you, come to him, come to me? About the rest, come to me all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you my rest. Come to the waters. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'm sending him. When he's come, now watch this. He's going to give you some of the operations of the Holy Ghost. Some of this is going to blow you away here in a minute. When he's come, he will reprove. That word reprove means has a dual meaning. It means convict or convince. Say convict or convince. He's going to convict or convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. All right? Now let's look at this one. Of sin, he's going to convict. Say convict. How many of us, before we came to the Lord, under some preacher like me, better than me, you're in there, somebody shared in the conviction of God came over you. The Holy Spirit primary function was convict of that sin nature. He had to convict you for you to receive the Lord. And then the next thing he says, he's going to convince you, say convince, of righteousness because I go to the Father. I'm not here to explain this stuff to you till 2 o'clock in the morning anymore. He's the one communicating now. He's the one that's going to say convince. you that you're the righteousness of God. You're going to have to be convinced of that, or you're not going to be able to come to me where I am. Your fallen mindset, unworthiness, consciousness, all of that's got to be overcome. Because you live in a world, and you're going to make mistakes, and you think your Father sees you the way you see you. But your Father in heaven doesn't see you that way. But you're not going to know that in this jurisdiction. He's got to convince you. He's going to take these words, and he's going to convince you that you're in right standing, and you have a right to be with us where we are. He's going to help you with that. How many of you struggle when you go to pray and the weightiness of your past or the weightiness of your shortcomings or the weightiness of unworthiness, insecurities, fears that only the love of God is going to cast out and dispel? They block you at the door. Not only your own stuff, the enemy magnifies your stuff 100 times over. You need to be convinced. Now, I like this next one. Of judgment, verse 11. He's going to convince you of judgment. Say, convince. Because the prince of this world's been judged, and you're going to need to know that. Because he's going to roar at you like a lion. He's going to act like he's got a lot of stuff over you. He's going to sit at the gates. I am the door. If any by me any man entereth in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. But they're going to sit at the door, and they're going to yell and scream and roar at you. They're going to act like they got a lot more than they do. It's amazing when faith overrides that stuff. It's like, you're a little gnat. I mean, I couldn't believe it. 20 years I listened to that stuff. When faith overrode it, I'm like, shoe fly. Before, it was like this huge mountain. You got to be convinced he's been judged. I want to take you back into John just a minute. Go to John chapter 12. I'm going to show you something that we commonly see. Now look at John 12, verse 23. Look at verse 31 real quick. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now listen to me. Jesus is going to unload all of the principalities and the powers, but they're still operating in heavenly realms. He's going to be cast out, but he's still operating right now. But when he said having spoiled principalities and powers, what he was talking about is when you were born again, he broke utter control of the enemy over you completely. The enemy has no more authority, but you've got to be convinced of that. Now back up here for a minute. Verse 23, I'm going to show you some context here, and I'm going to show you a little revelation here. Then I'm going to show you a big revelation. I saved the good, the best for the last. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come. Say, the hour has come. The Son of Man should be glorified. In John 17, 5, he said, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee from the beginning. He left the glory of the Father. He says, the hour has come. I'm going back to the Father now. I'm going to be glorified in the Father. The hour is coming. It's my time to go now. That's the context. Verily I say unto you, but here's how he's going. Except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. I am that corn of wheat. I will die. And it will bear much fruit. That's the way I'm going. And he that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life in this world will keep it. Now look at verse 26. Powerful verse here. This is the first where I am. If any man serve me, what's his context? Look at me. What's the context? He's going to the Father. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall my servant be also. If you're going to serve me, you want to serve me, follow me where I'm going. When you're born again, it'll be the death, burial of the old man, and I'll raise your new man into where I am. And you follow me to the Father. That's the context. With that said, now look at verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He'll no longer have dominion over you. He'll hold no dominion over you. You'll be able to freely release into me. You'll be able to freely follow me. unto the Father. Now look at the next verse. It's always been preached one way. I've never heard it preached the way the Holy Ghost just preached it to me yesterday. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. We've always preached that as the cross, but the context is I'm being lifted out of the earth. And if I be lifted out, I will draw every man to where I am. And where I am, there shall you be also. He's not drawing you to the cross, he's drawing you through the cross. He's not on the cross. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And where I am, there shall you be also. Woo! If I be lifted out of the earth, I'm going to draw every man to where I am. And if any man will serve me, let him follow me to where I'm going. Because I'm going to restore you to the love that man had with the Father in the garden. And then you're going to come back with that love, and every man in this world will know the Father loveth you the way he's loved me. God is going to have his people be drawn up into him. He's going to love us. And he's going to come back and dwell with us, and the world's going to know God's with us. Not just with one Moses, not just one Solomon, not with just one Christ, but Christ and a whole generation operating in fullness, operating in glory, operating in power, operating in answered prayer. Wait till I start teaching about answered prayer. He talks about answered prayer as much as he's talking about the Holy Ghost in here. Is that good or what? If I be lifted up, you'll follow me. You'll follow me. Whew. Them are faith words. You move with that stuff. You move with that faith. That's the kind of stuff that causes you to pierce the barriers. Now go back to John 16. That's what he meant. You're going to be convinced. The prince of this world's been cast out. He can't hold you back. I'm going to take you up to where I am. Have that thought right there. When he was talking about the prince of this world should be judged, he was talking about chapter 12 there. And him being lifted up, you following him. Now watch this. Verse 13. We're right back into the Holy Ghost here. I was talking to Chuck about this, and he stopped listening to me. I could tell I was just talking on the phone. I'm like, he's not listening to me. I'm just going on. He's going, I'm like, where are you? You're not with me. He goes, I'm checking out what you just said. He's punching it into his computer and going, yeah, well, it does say that, doesn't it? And what I just said is what I'm about to say. And you've been waiting all day to hear it. The primary operation of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready for this? How be it? Verse 13. John 16:13. He, the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you. What's the context? He's going to guide you in all truth. He's going to convict of the sin, convince you of righteousness, convince you. The prince of this world's been judging. He's going to guide you into all truth, and I am that truth. He's going to guide you into me. He's going to guide you into my inheritance. He's going to guide you into a visible realm. He's going to guide you into that realm. He's going to show you how to get there. Oh, he's awesome. He's been doing it the whole time. I didn't even know it was him doing it. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Ready for this? He will show you things to come. Man, the Holy Ghost, the way he got me under this, he said chapter 16 is your key right now. And I'm just going through it and through it and through it, and nothing's popping. I'm just digging. And then he just landed on that verse, things to come. So I got the interlinear out. I got the Greeks out. I mean, I just went to every context. And guess what? The word things is not there. That's not, they put that there. Because they didn't know how to translate what he was really doing. There wasn't the word things. It was just, he show you to come. So I said, woof. That's the time Chuck checked out right there. And so I looked at that word come, and it means ekakomei or ekakomei. That's the Greek word. You want to know what it means? It means to come or to go. He'll show you to come. He'll show you how to come or how to go. You know what it really means in the Thayers? Ready for this? He will show you how to come from one place to another. He will show you how to come. He'll show you how to go. He'll show you how to come from one place, from where you are, to where I want you to be in me. He's going to bring you to me. He's going to guide you into all truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to draw you to me. He's going to show you how to do that. He's going to teach you. That's why you got to know him. He, what? Will glorify me where I am. He's going to bring to light where I am. He's going to receive of mine. He's going to show it to you. All that the Father has given me on your behalf as a joint heir, he's going to receive it. He's going to show it to you. He's going to show you how to transfer from one jurisdiction to another. Isn't that good? Let's give God glory on that right there. There's another meaning of that word, ekrokomei. It means to make one's appearance. He'll show you how to make an appearance. There's another one. He'll show you how to arise. Some of you, he's got to show you how to rise up. Show you how to come into being. In him, we live. In Christ, we move. In Christ, we have our being. He's going to show you. He didn't leave you alone. He didn't leave you fatherless. How many of us struggle? We know God loves us, but we don't feel him half the time. We have to do everything by faith. Well, God loves me. I'd sure like to not just know it, but experience it every day. He didn't leave you in a fatherless state. He sent his Holy Spirit to show you how to come from one place to another. He would glorify where I am. He'd show you how to get there. He's going to bring you there. He's going to convict of the sin. He's going to convince you of the righteous. He's going to convince you the prince of this world's judge. He's going to show you how to follow me to where I am. He's going to be with you to do this. He's going to get you to the Father. And if I can get you to the Father, then the Father's going to love you. When he says that, he's not talking about just love. He's going to restore you to the image that man lost at the fall. That's what love does. Look at verse 25. Look at John 16:25. These things I've spoken to you in hidden sayings, in mysteries, in proverbs. I'm speaking to you now. That's what he's telling them. He's in the upper room. He says, I'm speaking all these things in hidden mysteries and proverbs. What's that other word for it? Figurative language. He goes, I know you don't understand what I'm talking about. Because they were saying, what's he talking about? A little while he's going to go. In a little while he's going to be back again. What's he talking about? He goes, I know you don't know what I'm talking about. These things I've spoken to you. But the time cometh in that day when I shall no more speak to you in proverbs. I'm going to openly show you the Father. Say openly, show you the Father. And just so you know that he's not talking about when you get to glory or when you die, right after that he says, in that day you'll ask in my name. Now, you might want to start waking up to where answered prayer happens. Christians are the only ones I know that'll pray 50 years in this jurisdiction and hardly ever get answers. When he said the answers, I've got to openly show you the Father you're praying to. You need to be loved of him because our whole kingdom operates by love. Faith's going to operate by love. Transference is going to operate by love. I got to get you to the Father you're praying to. In the old, they would come out from cities and they'd go into the temple. Now you're coming out from that jurisdiction. You're going into where the Father dwelleth. I'm going to openly show you the Father. The Holy Ghost is going to show you me. And I'm going to reveal the Father to you. And that's how it works. That's why I say the Holy Ghost gets frustrated. That's why we're stuck. Because we keep wanting revival down here. But we haven't gone there yet. John chapter 17 will close. It's a compass. It's enough to take you in there. It's the only way you're going to get there consistently is by faith. You can jump in there encounter in there. Sometimes you can even worship in there. But consistently, you got to plow down the mountains. And faith plows the mountains down. Then your pathway's set. Then you can walk right into the Father. And He's wonderful. He's altogether lovely. He's amazing. He's nothing like what our mind thinks He's like. I'll close with this. His final prayer, verse 20, neither I pray for these alone. These are very powerful words. For them which shall believe on me through their word, they all may be one, as thou, Father. Now he's going to describe their state first there, then he's going to describe the state here. He says, as thou, Father, are in me, I'm in thee, they will come up to be one in us. You see that? They're going to come up. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. We're going to send, the Father's going to send him, the Jesus is going to send him, they both send him. The Father sent him to the Lord sent him, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring him to me, then Father, I'm going to bring him to you. They're going to be one the way we are. You see that? You know why this doesn't make sense? Because you're not taught that stuff. But you should have been taught it the day you were born again. We all should have been taught it, but we just didn't know. If you did, you'd already be dwelling in the Father, because everything about God is about compass. Amen? That the world may believe you have sent me, and the glory you've given me, I've given them, that they may be one. And now he's going to describe, then I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. I'm going to be in them and the earth, and you're going to be in me, Father. You see that? You're going to dwell. That's what you want, by the way. Father, dwelling. All that's done is done positionally. It's been finished. But it's got to actively be set in operation. We want the Father to dwell here. Because that's the revival everyone's looking for. That's the wealth transference. That's the apostolic government. That's the glory. That's everything. And this is the third time he said it. Chapter 12, he said where I am. Chapter 14, he said where I am. He says, Father, I will, just so you know where he is, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, Father, that you've given me. For you lovest me from the foundation of the world, that they may behold what you've given me. That's talking about that place right there. Holy Ghost is going to bring you to Christ there. I'm not talking about being born again. You can run around being born again and never know that realm. And be born again, get saved, go to heaven. This is talking about the sons of glory. Holy Ghost is going to bring you to where I am, and I'm going to bring you to the Father. The Father's going to love you, and then we're all three coming back to dwell with you. And that's what's about to happen on this planet. The indwelling God in His people. The fullness. Let's give God glory.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge.